So good to be here with you today. As always, I deem it a privilege and a real honor to be with you today. And you sang some of my favorite worship songs and choruses, so I'm well blessed already, you know. Sitting there worshiping, this is my desire to honor you. I got really stuck into that one. And bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless his holy name. Because the Lord has done great and wonderful things for us. And he's been good to us. And so we should honor him through praise. Amen. Let me just pray. Father God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be received today, Lord. And that, Father God, that as I speak today, that I speak under the authority and the unction of the Holy Spirit, not under my own strength, not as Lola, but through the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord, for that ignition, that anointing, Lord, that it should go and come forth and spring up within us and help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we've been learning about Jeremiah. Very, very interesting character. I was given the scriptures, and the scripture that I'm going to be referring to is Jeremiah 31. And I've read the various verses. In fact, I looked over the chapter. And Jeremiah's quite an interesting character. I think, and I'm sorry if I'm covering old ground, because I know that you looked at some of this last week. But Jeremiah was a very interesting character. And I think, maybe, dare I say, that if he was ministering today, he might be taken to a mental institute. Yeah? Because sometimes the way that we see the way his prophecies were manifested could be termed as strange. Do you think so? He's called the weeping prophet, and he used to cry out in a loud voice and weep like perhaps like an old town crier, but not in the same way as a town crier would deliver messages. But he would be weeping and crying and wailing. That's why we have the Book of Lamentations, which are the laments of Jeremiah, his wailing and his weeping and his intercessions regarding the children of Israel. But I want to go in a little bit more about, before I go into what I want to talk about today and Jeremiah 31, let's look at the context of Jeremiah. He had a very, very, what I think is a very difficult ministry. He was ministering at the time when they'd just been in exile. He had trouble with the people. When you're called to do something, and often if you know that you've got a vocation, it's often the area that you're most criticized and you're most attacked. And so throughout his ministry, Jeremiah was attacked and he was criticized. And most of the time, his ministry was unwanted. They didn't want to hear what he had to say. And interestingly enough, one of the people that criticized him the most was the other priest. Can you imagine if Steve or any of the leaders here were having the most criticism coming from other leaders or another pastor? That was what Jeremiah had to endure. And he had a lot of trouble with this priest called Pashur, who eventually criticized him so much that he threw him into a dungeon or a pit, as what some translations say. Imagine the other leader who you're supposed to be having support from, supposed to be having some kind of strength and being able to kind of bounce things off each other. And he's the one who actually persecutes you or helps to kind of secure your demise. That was what Pashur did. And Jeremiah continues to work through and minister through times of challenge. I've been feeling a lot like Jeremiah recently. I've been volunteering at a particular place. And we do it in conjunction with people from who are doing their community service through the probation service. And two of those people made allegations against me and told outright lies about me. And instead of getting support from the place where I've been ministering or exercising that ministry, they actually chose to support our criminal brothers and sisters. Let's put it that way. And so that put me in a really difficult position. It put me in a difficult position of ministry. This happened just before Christmas. So can you imagine how my Christmas was? In kind of like thinking about all of this, going round in my head and all of that. And it was all because I said something that they didn't want to hear. But getting back to Jeremiah, he has to work through all of this challenge. And still, he has to minister the word that God has given him. And so we get to chapter 31. And chapter 31 introduces us to the notion of an individual relationship with Christ. Jeremiah diverts from the kind of attitudes and the older principles of the law. And let's look at this in context. We've come through the dispensation of innocence, which is when Adam and Eve were created. And then we go through to the dispensation of conscience, when people are learning about God. And then we come to the dispensation of the law and of the prophets. And Jeremiah is ministering at the time of the dispensation of the law and of the prophetic word. And he diverts from the law covenant, which is very, very, how can I say? You had to obey the law in its entirety. else it would have been broken. But he diverts and he makes a transition and he says that God will no longer have to be transferring this law, the dead letter of the law, through individuals, but he will write the law on your heart. He will write the law on your heart. He will enter your heart. And Jeremiah goes through a process of telling the people that God will restore all that they have lost. They've been in exile. They've been oppressed. They've been depressed. And Jeremiah states that they are going to be restored. He gives them a word of hope, a word of reconciliation, stating that the Lord will write the laws on their hearts. So they won't have to rely on the prophets. They won't have to rely on the priests. They won't have to rely on outside people to tell them the law. But they will have the law written in their heart, because the Lord has given a new covenant of love to his people. And Jeremiah talks about this. He talks about the new covenant. He prophesies about the new covenant that we have through Christ. The new covenant of grace. The new covenant of God's unrequited love. The new covenant of God's love that is undeniable, that is unquenchable, that is deep and profound. He prophesies that that is the new covenant, and that God wants to now enter our hearts individually. I think that deserves an amen. Remember, I can say amen and hallelujah for everybody. God has created each and every one of us uniquely. And so, he wants to have that unique relationship with each and every one of us. I put something on my Facebook page the other day, strangely enough. I was watching a program. What's it called? With Reese Witherspoon. Something blonde. Legally Blonde. Thank you for that. Legally Blonde. I like that film. And every time I watch it, I get something out of it. I get something more out of it. And so I put something on my Facebook page. And it was the things that I got out of it at the time. One is that we should never be pigeonholed. We should never let anyone put us down. And that we should do things regardless of the situation. And God has created us all uniquely. And one of the things about Reese Witherspoon, she's a blonde. And, you know, she's got a lot of discrimination because she's blonde. And people see her as just a beauty queen, and that she's dizzy and whatever. And she's, and you know the story. She's in love with this guy and she follows him to Harvard University. And she gets herself into the law school. And then you see her develop. And she uses the skills that God has blessed her with to go forward. And in the end, above, against all the odds, she wins this trial. But she has engaged with herself. She's accepted herself. and use the skills that God has blessed her with. Let's put it that way. And this is what we ought to do. And this is what Jeremiah is getting at. God wants to have a unique and individual relationship with each and every one of us. And he has built a covenant of love that he can engage with us, that we can use the skills and the abilities and the relationship that we have with him to beat the challenges that we must go through. I have to minister in that difficult circumstance. But because I know that I have a covenant of love with God and that his word and his love is deep and written on my heart, that is what has given me the strength to continue. Yes, I met the pushers. Yes, I met them. And they may have tried to throw me into a pit and cast me aside and put me down. But God's covenant of love is true. It is true to type. And God will never let you go. He will never let you diminish. He will never let you go in those circumstances. And he will give you the word of strength for you to continue. Hallelujah. Jeremiah prophesies that Israel will become more prominent because of his love. Jeremiah prophesies that Israel will become more prominent because they are going to be restored. Jeremiah prophesies that they are going to regain all that they have lost. Sometimes you've lost things. Sometimes you've lost your identity. Sometimes you've lost your status because you've been sacked from a job. Sometimes you've lost credibility because you've lost your house. You've lost your belongings because of financial difficulties. Sometimes you've lost your culture because you've become a refugee and had to amend your ways and amend the way that you live. But Jeremiah says that because God now, through this new covenant, has taken up permanent residence in you, that you will be restored. Hallelujah. And you are restored through his covenant of love. And I'm coming to the end now. And this is what we have to do. We need to accept his love. Sometimes we think that we're unlovable. Sometimes we think that we've done something so bad that God can't accept us. Sometimes the way that we've been brought up, we've been told a number of things. We've been told that we are horrible, that we're awful, that we're not good enough, that we can't learn. I was told a number of occasions at school that I was dunce. I was told on a number of occasions that I couldn't write. And I've denied that through the power of God and the grace of God. I'm on my fourth book. Because God is a God of love and his covenant of love prevails. And so we've got to accept his love. Come as we are. Depend on him. Don't worry about your airs and graces, but I haven't been educated to a certain level. Or I'm not rich enough. Or I'm too poor. Or I'm the wrong color, the wrong race, the wrong culture. I've got a disability. I've got a hearing impairment. I've got something that is wrong. God accepts all. He accepts us with our flaws. He accepts us with our imperfection because he is a God of love. And his covenant of love, which Jeremiah is referring to today, prevails. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And this is what God does. When we accept his love and we accept his grace, he has favor upon us. A definition of grace is God's unmerited favor towards humanity. And he speaks to our heart and he imprints his love and his word in our hearts so that it will impact the relationship that we have in him. God sees, and then what he does is he writes that law of love in our hearts. Amen. I'm just going to say a word of prayer. Just going to end with a word of prayer. If you haven't given your heart to the Lord, I don't want you to do anything, but just accept that God loves you. Just accept. And the reason I'm praying this prayer is because I was brought up in a church that talked about hellfire and damnation more than it did about God's love. And as a result, I didn't know that God loved me. So I'm going to just pray a prayer that we will accept God's love in our heart and that we will come to Jesus, accept him in our lives and hearts and come just as we are. Is that okay? Father God, I pray right now, Lord, for everyone here, my brothers and sisters, that, Lord, they will know about your love and that, Lord, your love will be revealed to them and that the word of love will be written in their hearts through Jesus. Father God, if there's anyone who's been afraid to accept Christ in their hearts, or anyone who doesn't know that God loves them unconditionally, we pray for them right now. We pray, Lord, that that revealed love will be made manifest in their lives. I pray, Father God, that in this church there will be an explosion of your love. And that, Lord, the word of love, the law of love, the grace covenant will be in our hearts and it will come out and it will be manifested. And that new commandment that Jesus spoke about, that you love one another as he has loved us, will be spread abroad in our hearts and shared. That it will affect our families, affect the community. It will infect everywhere we go. Yes, Lord, an infection of your love instead of an infection of anything else. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for this love that we can behold and that, Lord, that we can know the love that the Father has bestowed upon us, that we can be all his children. Thank you, Lord. Amen.